Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. This phrase was written by the Apostle Paul to his brethren in Ephesus who were saved people. How had they been saved? Paul says they were saved by grace. And we want to be saved also. If we are saved, we will be saved the same way they were, that is, by grace. There is no new way to be saved, no shortcut way, but the only way of salvation is the way people were saved in New Testament times. Therefore, it is imperative that we understand that we are saved by grace and what it means to be saved by grace. The word grace means an unmerited favor. In the case of the grace of God toward man, it refers to unmerited favor and benefits extended to man from the Heavenly Father. God has bestowed favors upon man that man neither has earned nor deserves. The word grace is used in different senses, however, in the New Testament. One way is found in Romans 15 and verse 15, speaking of gifts from God enabling man to do the work of God on earth. Grace was given me of God that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, Paul said. God gave Paul the charge and the duty and the opportunity, but also the ability to take the gospel to the Gentile world. Again, Paul wrote, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, this carries the same sense as Philippians 2 and verse 13, "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And in Acts 26 and verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great." Grace sometimes refers to the gospel itself, in contrast to the law of Moses. In Romans 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." And John wrote, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ," John 1 and verse 17. Grace is the word that refers to the benefits of God's unmerited favor to man that shall surely be realized at judgment. "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Friend, when Christ comes again, the judgment will take place. Those who have taken advantage of the salvation that God offers will receive the unmerited favor of God in the form of entrance into heaven. We're not to understand that God will offer grace at that time to those who have rejected his offer in life. But those who have accepted his offer of grace will receive the salvation that can be ours through the grace of God. The Christian, having made provision for that hour, and having taken advantage of his opportunity, will receive the culmination of his hope. Grace can also refer to a quality of man that reflects a Christ-likeness toward those who are in need. Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in their great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7. Giving to the necessities of others is called grace. The Macedonian Christians graciously shared their resources, even when they did not have an abundance for themselves. The grace of giving is Christ-like. Now in our text, we're taught that we're saved by grace. This has reference to the forgiveness of our sins and the establishment of a saved relationship with God through Christ. Consider more closely this concept of being saved, saved by grace. In Romans 5 and verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto God by the death of Christ, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." To be saved, then, friend, means to be reconciled to God. We are alienated from God by our sins. But when we are forgiven of our sins, reconciliation is the result. In Romans 6:23, it teaches that the wages of sin is death, a spiritual death, a separation from God. When we are saved, it means that we have escaped the necessity of suffering the wages of sin. In Romans 6 and verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Being saved means that we are not the servants of Satan, and no longer in the servitude to evil. Sin has lost its dominion over us. This reconciliation, this escape from the wages of sin, this relief from the dominion of sin, is possible because of the grace and unmerited favor of God. Now that's the theme of Ephesians 2 in verse 8. Salvation is a gift from God that no man could deserve or earn. This saving grace is manifested in God giving to man the opportunity to come to the Savior that God has provided. Romans 5, 6 through 8, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Here is the way that God has demonstrated his grace toward man. And without this grace, there would be no provision for salvation. Therefore, we are saved by the grace of God. And even though salvation is a gift that we cannot merit, it is a gift that is given upon condition. And the condition is an obedient faith. This is the way we appropriate to ourselves the benefits of the grace of God. And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation to them that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." My dear listening friend, there is something that man must do. There are conditions that must be met. Even when man meets these conditions, he is not earning his salvation. No matter what he does, he cannot earn salvation. But until he does what the will of God requires, he cannot enjoy the blessings extended to him by the grace of God. After Peter had convinced his hearers on Pentecost that Jesus was both Lord and Christ, his hearers asked what they must do to be saved. Peter told them to repent and to be baptized. He continued to urge them, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." He did not tell them to save themselves by themselves, for that was impossible. But he was urging them to do the will of God as had been instructed. He was pleading that they might obey. He pressed them to meet the conditions necessary to obtain the benefits of the grace of God. What is it that people must do to be saved by the grace of God? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-9 teaches that we must obey the gospel. This refers to the commands of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. We are saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1-4. The gospel includes facts to be believed and promises to be enjoyed, but also commands to be obeyed. We must meet these conditions to be saved by the grace of God. The objection is sometimes raised on a false use of Romans 4 and Romans 11. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The argument is made that meeting conditions and obeying commands is working for salvation. It says, "And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be by works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Again, the argument is made that these verses deny any need for man to obey, that we are saved by grace. But friend, the fallacy is in the failure to understand that the Bible speaks of different kinds of works. There are works of merit by which we cannot be saved, but there are also works of obedience, which are not meritorious, but without which we cannot be saved. We're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3:3-5, nor by works of which we can boast, Ephesians 2:9, nor by works of the Mosaic law, Romans 3:28. But we are saved by works that makes faith perfect or whole or complete, James 2:24. And while we are saved by grace, we are never taught that we are saved by grace alone. No more than we are taught that we are saved by works alone or by faith alone. To be saved by works alone would deny the need of grace. To be saved by grace alone would mean universal salvation and the removal of the accountability of man. The truth is, salvation involves both that which God has done and that which man must do. Saved by grace and saved by obedience are not contradictory concepts, but totally compatible with the entire plan of salvation God has designed. Galatians 1:15 teaches that we are called by the grace of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 teaches that we are called by the gospel. When we hear the gospel, including the commands of the gospel, we are called to be saved by the grace of God. Acts 20:24 says, "And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Part of the gospel is the unmerited favor God has extended to undeserving man. But part of the gospel contains the commands that man must obey. In Acts 15, when Peter was rehearsing the conversion of the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius, he said the Gentiles were to hear the word of the gospel, verse 7. Yet they were cleansed by faith, verse 9. And he concludes how they were saved by grace, verse 11. When a person is saved by obeying the gospel, he is saved by grace through the means of obedient faith. We have access into this grace by obedient faith, Romans 5:1-2. Yes, saved by grace is the New Testament doctrine. But now that we know more fully just what this means and just what this includes, we pray that we will appreciate the grace of God and will hasten to render obedience to the commands that He has given. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.